Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, go to pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all you non-members out there, sign up for our free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. In today's podcast, we feature audio from our latest episode of our docuseries, Business Anatomy. This episode is brought to you by our industry partners, Benjamin Moore, Sherwin-Williams, PPG, and Bayer. Listen as Jason Paris recounts his introduction to the painting industry in college. Through a combination of passion and dedication, he built a multi-million dollar business at Paris Painting by developing a team that can outperform any one person. This structure of trust and accountability has allowed Jason to step back from controlling every aspect of the business and has created the freedom for him to have a work-life balance that is filled with plenty of leisure time and family.
I got into painting by doing a simple Google search. Summer college job. Painted for a summer, ran some job sites. You say, this is why I'm going to college. Right? Never gonna paint again. Definitely not a career option. So right after I graduated, I joined a Fortune 500 company. Doing basically B2B sales, so it's called automatic data processing. I worked there for 13 months.
He was really a different person when he was doing that job, and not in a really great way. He was burnt out. He's introverted, and he was doing sales in this position, and so he was on all day, every day, and then when he came home, he was just drained.
In college, I had worked 12, 16-hour days, and at the end of the day, I was exhausted, but still pretty thrilled. And in corporate America, I was just drained. And that's when I said, what do you think? She said, go for it. And so I jumped back into the trades.
He started Paris Painting. He came home after working 14, 16, 20-hour days, and he would just be energized, like a totally different person in a good way. He came home saying, this is what I was made to do.
The fact that I was coming with, I want us to be happy, I want to be motivated, this was my avenue into entrepreneurism, running your own company.
The beginning days of Paris Painting were pretty humble. He spent a lot of time in the grind.
He was doing sales. He was doing site check-ins out in the field. He was coordinating every project. He had a headset on that he was taking every phone call. He didn't have a call center yet. It was a lot. And he was doing a good job and took it farther than I've seen anybody take it.
I had no idea that what I was doing was impressive or good. I knew it was hard, and I thought, for a while, there was a part of me that thought I was just dumb, and I was the only one struggling. A couple of years ago, I started connecting with other contractors at a painting expo. Once you start talking to other painting contractors, you learn a little bit more about yourself. At that point, I was a solopreneur, as we call it, and didn't really have anyone to talk through what I was doing or what I was experiencing. And so you start to hear other people's stories, but then you tell them your story and you get real-time feedback. I think at the time I was doing just over $1 million, just crossed the $1 million mark, and I assumed that every other painting company was $5-10 million plus, because they all seemed super successful.
More importantly than the percent, as to project.
Then I started to talk to other painting contractors, and it was okay for it to be hard, because what I was doing was challenging.
It had been a fast-growing company, but it had plenty of gaps of where it needed to go from where it was. You have to have a pretty high pain tolerance to do a startup company, and he was perfect for that role.
Oh, I have no idea. I apologize.
to lead the full organization and professionalization, you can't have a very big pain tolerance. And that's where we brought on a partner as an integrator to help professionalize, and that's Alex.
To do and just get prep out to the PMs on what to come prepared with.
So Alex is leading most of the day-to-day operations of the company now.
Doing our gutters, our wraps, and then small hands. Over the last 24 months, as he's been able to let go and the team's come around the company, he's really zoned in on what he's exceptional at.
When we have a really productive, move-the-needle conversation.
You know, I started out thinking I was a god and I could do everything the best and no one could do it as good as I could. And then I quickly found out that that was not true when it came to painting. Quickly found out that that was not true when it came to sales. Quickly found out that was not true when it came to financial coordination and finally being the president of the company.
He knows that a lot of different people are better at certain things than he is, you know, whether it be sales or managing finances or whatever. He knows that his skill is not limited to one area and he can very easily let go and help delegate some of those roles to other people.
Even if you are extremely good at something, you can always be outperformed by a team following a system.
Jason was able to develop and bring on a coordination team and an office team that handle a lot of the tasks that go into getting jobs ready to be painted. He created the skill set and the systems needed for that and trained some people to take those things on.
He's got a pretty exceptional gift we call him a logician.
Brian is planning for Hedgeler.
Anything with logistics and coordination, he's exceptional at that. How do we coordinate a project and what are all the little intricate steps in that? And what's the formula that we gotta give our developer to code that into a system that people can self-regulate on? He's allowed the team to take on other roles, right? So the sales team got built out. Jason specialized in a role for coordination and he took on head of technology role and started to build out our software. He's been able to build a system that people can step into and that we can scale a company through for coordination, as the rest of the team has been doing that in the other functions of sales and field management.
He's able to go from being the one person doing everything to leading a team of four people that are doing what he was doing before.
It's becoming a little bit more challenging in comparison to look at the total quantity and normal coaching sessions now.
There's some philosophical part that I think is healthy for contractors to hear, which is that you're not your business. And it's hard because most of us are not very creative people. So our company is Paris Painting. And so coming to that realization first of, I am not my company. The company is not me. I have an identity that's rooted in something else. Right? Just because the company is doing good does not mean that I'm an all-star. Right? Just because the company is doing bad would not mean that I'm a failure. And then letting go and saying there are people that can do it better than you. Right? Getting over that hurdle, that mental hurdle of thinking that you're, you know, an all-star. And then kind of laying that balance of empowering people, right? Giving them the freedom to make decisions. And it's hard to attract world-class talent without giving people the freedom to make their own decisions. So as the owner, you can micromanage things as all you wish, but you may not get that great of people.
It can take some humility, but it actually is, from the vantage point of building an asset, a long-term, lasting asset, it is to his benefit, and it's to all of our benefit that we specialize and bring the right people in the right seats. You know that you're a slave to your business. You're not really a business owner, you're self-employed. I think it starts with that brutal honesty. What am I doing in this company that I'm not uniquely qualified to do? And if I'm not uniquely qualified to do it, how fast can I have somebody else do it?
All right, so we're pushing 40 grand into next week. We've scaled, we've become more profitable, but we've done it with a healthy balance of work and family.
I used to get up very early and go to work. This is when my business was a shackle. And good, profitable, fun, control your own destiny kind of shackles, but still didn't have a choice whether I was going to work each day. And we had two kids at the time, and it was tough. That's when I would work, till 8, 9 o'clock at night. And it was rare that I'd get home before the kids' bedtime. And I remember that being tough on my oldest daughter, Peggy. And in the mornings, I would walk out, she would hear the door open, and she would open the blinds, and she would wave. And I would wave back, and I'd blow kisses, and she'd blow kisses. They can hear me open the door off our bedroom, and they know that I'm leaving, and they'll come on down, and then hug them goodbye and kiss them goodbye. And I'll say, do you want to wave to me? And they'll run over to the curtains and walk out the house, turn around, wave to them, drive away, stop, wave to them one more time. And just a fun thing.
In the early days, when he was working really long hours and long days, he would say, well, it's only for a little while, I'll be home in the winter, which that wasn't satisfying to me, but now it feels like winter has come all year round.
We like to read books a lot, so that's probably our number one activity. We like to go on hikes, we live right on a lake, and we like to walk on it when it's frozen. We like to go kayaking when it's not frozen.
The business has provided that for us. His hard work at the beginning has really opened up doors for him to have more time and be super diligent about the leisure time and very intentional about his family time.
I oftentimes will think about my ancestors or just different people around the world, where if I would describe to them the opportunity that I was presented with, being in America in this time period, introduced to the trades and college educated, they would be like, what? You mean you can affect your family's well-being by effort? Most people throughout history have not had that ability. America is something special, and that you can make your own destiny. Painting is an amazing industry because of the entrepreneurial breeding ground that it is. I don't think there's anything else that has such a low barrier to entry, pretty low risk profile, right? Usually the worst mistake you made is, I'll paint it again. It's also an extremely imbalanced supply and demand thing right now. There's a lot of demand for our services, very low supply, very low barrier to entry, pretty low risk profile. Also, it's an industry that hasn't gone through its renaissance. So if you are into adoption of efficiencies, you can be really cutting edge. So for all those reasons, painting is like the best thing you can be doing right now. In my opinion, it's an amazing breeding ground for entrepreneurs.
PaintEd podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and is made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.